You doing well today? Doing good. Good to be in church on Sunday. My name's Tony. For those that aren't aware, I'm the lead pastor here at Impact Church. And today you're in for a real special treat. We've got a very special friend with us today. He's not a guest to us. He's part of our church family, really. And Pastor Denny he's what I call a pastor to pastors. He looks after pastors. That's his full-time calling and responsibility now around the nation, looking after pastors like me and looking after our churches and investing himself that way. He was previously the lead pastor of Edge Church International, campuses around the world and a massive campus in Adelaide, handed that over and established his own ministry, Pattern Builders, and doing a great dynamic job. And he's the man that we call when we have concerns and that we talk to as pastors. And what I love about Pastor Denny, when he comes to church, it's not like someone just coming to do a preaching spot for us and just bringing a good word. He just hugs our church. He just massages our leaders. And yesterday we spent some time together and just massaged the leaders and made a great investment into our life as leaders. And today he's here for us as a church. And I want you to stand, if you would please. I want you to give a big Impact Church welcome to Pastor Denny as he comes to preach the word today. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Please. Thank you. You be seated. Thank you. Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you. And this is not a cliche, honestly. It's good to be home. Yeah. See, not having just one local church now, but handing that over and moving around the body of Christ, you realize there's only one church. It's God's church. There's different aspects of His church. And to walk into a place like this where there's trust, you know, there are three enemies of trust. I've shared it here many times. Gossip, insecurity, and I'm getting old, I can't remember the last one, suspicion. And, you know, you go into some places and they go, oh, this is too good to be true, or is this guy for real? And, you know, you've got to earn that right to be heard. But when I come here, it feels I'm just with the family. And so really thank you for your love and your receptivity. And also, when you go to a place that there's that heart connection, I go home refreshed. I don't go home having given out and nothing given back. And the last two or three times I've been here, I feel like I've gone home filled up myself. So can I say thank you for your hospitality, your love, and you blessing me? You know, it doesn't just happen on a pulpit, but it's so sitting around the table, having chats, and yes, telling really bad dad jokes. When you get to my age, you can get away with that. Trouble is, I'm telling bad dad jokes now, and people just stare at you, and after a while they think we better laugh out of respect. You know, I said to someone the other day, the police knocked on my door the other day, and I said, look, we've come to arrest your dogs. They go, really? He says, yeah, your dogs have been chasing people on bikes all around the district, and we need to take them away. And I said, well, they can't be my dogs. And they go, why? I said, my dogs don't have bikes. And so you laughed more than most people. Is that out of respect? And so you can get away with bad dad jokes and you tell the same ones over and over again and you forgot you told them before, but everybody else still laughs, you know. Tony's been around and Cheryl have been around my life for many, many years, and I sit around the table with some of your new leaders and tell jokes they think I'm saying for the first time, and Tony laughs out of respect. He goes, I don't know how many times I've heard that one, but I still laugh every time. So it's great to be with you guys. It's great to do life together. That's really important. But in the middle of all that, we're so desperate to hear from God. And so I always go to bed at night before I preach at a place like this, or wherever I preach, and I say, God, let me wake up in the morning with the thoughts you have for the house. Can I give you the thoughts I woke up with this morning, and I'll let you judge them? And please do, because sometimes, you know, it could be just the flesh. But I feel deep down that this could be an encouragement to you today. You are called Impact Church. It's time to live up to your name. So that's the first thought that came to me this morning, that God is raising this house to live up to its name of having impact in the lives of men and women in the church, but also to have impact outside the church. You know, I remember the Lord speaking to me about everything we do prophesies. You don't have to open your mouth. I remember one time people left our church because we spent too much money on the signage we put outside our building. And they said, that's too much money. That money should be going to missions. But I remember God telling me to let the building prophesy. He said, your building needs to prophesy that when people drive past, they can see what goes on in that place without ever being in there. And I remember the day a man walked into church who saw the sign on the outside of our building. It was Christmas time. And he walked in because of the sign. He was a visitor from the UK. He came in, got so impacted, but he had to fly out of Adelaide that day. He arrived in Sydney and saw an ad in the airport for Hillsong Church. And he goes, wow, I saw an ad in Adelaide on the highway and it took me into that church. I'm going to go and check this one out. And he gave his life to Jesus that night on his way home to England. On his way home to England. Gave his life to Jesus. And you think, wow, but people left our church because we spent too much money on signage. There's always got to be the right why behind what we do. This morning, in a few moments, I'm going to preach on that. The why we do what we do. But just for a few more moments, just quickly, my message is not long today, but we must live out your name. Impact Church has to prophesy in and outside of the church. It's time for greater impact. God has been preparing you for that. And God is willing to give you. Now you need to test this. It's on tape or tape. They show you how old I am. It's been recorded. And God is willing to give you strength for the stretch. Because every time we go to a new level, there's always a new devil. But there's always a stretch so that God can take us to the next place to grow us. But there's strength for the stretch. But God wants to give you joy in the stretch. So there's strength for the stretch, joy in the stretch, empowerment for the stretch, and God wants synergy in the stretch. And I said, Lord, why did you use the word synergy? He said, it's time for Impact Church to have unity in your diversity. Unity isn't everybody doing the same thing. Unity isn't everybody seeing things exactly the same way, because we see things through the prism of our personalities. But we need to see our differences as not a negative, but a positive. And we need to have unity in our synergy to be able to go to the place of impact God has for us. This is a time for synergy in the stretch, unity through diversity, and God is going to supply in the stretch. This is from God. I really believe it's from God. I've got goosebumps right now, so I think it's God. He's going to supply in the stretch. And I said to the Lord, what are you going to supply? I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, what are you going to supply? He said, supernatural power. Supernatural power. There was such an anointing in the worship this morning. Hey, we're a supernatural people. We are a supernatural people, and we can't do what we do just in the natural. Do not live in the realm of reason. You'll never enjoy the season, because we need to be people of revelation, and God is going to ask this church to do things you don't have enough money to do. But He will bring supernatural provision. So it's supernatural power, supernatural provision, and clarity of purpose. How good is that? I mean, that's better than a poke in the eye with a blunt stick, honestly. That's great. I can take that word from God. He wants to provide. This is a new era. There are seasons in eras, but it's a new era, not just for Impact Church, but for the church. I prophesy in the name of Jesus this morning that there's a reformation coming to the church. The church of Jesus Christ is not practicing the Jesus of the Bible the way we should be. We have a different Jesus now. We have a Jesus that caresses us, but never corrects us. Come and hug me, Jesus, but don't correct me. Connect with me, but don't convict me. We have a Jesus in the Pentecostal church now that's taught us how to dance, but hasn't taught us how to take a stance. And I want to tell you this morning, it's time for the real Jesus to come home. And He is, because He's going to build His church. And it's time that people stop being offended and start getting extended and let God do whatever He wants to do in our lives so we can become the church that Jesus wants us to be. Then the Lord said this to me, you judge it. He said, tell the church, it's time for all in. All in. He said, it's all in. All into Jesus, all into Christ, all into what He's building, and He's all in with us. Your marriage won't suffer. Your priorities won't get messed up. When it's all in with Jesus, we all win. When we're all in, we all win. And I got that this morning for the house. I'm getting excited here. All in doesn't lead to burnout, but burn on with supernatural empowerment from heaven. There are three stories God wants in His church. There's my story or your story, which will then become our story. And that has to become His story. We want to make history, it's His story. And it can't be by just the pastors having a vision and we go, yeah, I think I'll get on board with that occasionally. No, when we're all in, miracles began to happen in your story. They happen in my story individually. You know, I'm going to a situation this week that is very, very difficult, and the pastors of this church know where I'm going. I'm going into a situation tomorrow morning here in Queensland where there could be a potential split in a church, and I've been called in. And God gives me a scripture. Back in Adelaide, I was just telling Tony before the meeting, back in Adelaide gives me a scripture for this situation. I wrote it down. 6 o'clock this morning, the phone rings. And from a guy that doesn't know the story. He said, Pastor Danny, I'm sorry to ring so early, but I've been up since 4 o'clock. And I've been interceding in prayer for you. And God has told me that the situation you're about to walk into, this is the scripture He wants you to use. I want you to test me. And gave me the identical scripture that God gave me for this situation. And then proceeded to write out a commentary. And I asked Him to send it to my phone so that when I sit with these people this week, I can show the supernatural hand of God to speak into something that in the natural could go totally AWOL. And I want to tell you, friends, that's the kind of Jesus we serve, a Jesus that helps us. When I get called into difficult church situations, I haven't been trained for this. Bible school didn't train me for this. But God told me to give up my church and give up my salary and give up everything that I had my trust in the natural. And He said, live in the supernatural all over again. And right now I'm seeing miracle after miracle after miracle happen because He's a supernatural God. If I'm living my God shape, I can expect miracles. If you're living in your God shape, whether it's in business or anywhere, you will expect miracles like we heard around the offering this morning. Stepping out in supernatural obedience and look at the provision of heaven that comes back which wasn't expected in the natural. And the Holy Spirit said to me very clearly this morning that this church is called to be a Daniel church. He's called this church to be a Daniel church. Daniel was taken from Judah and he was brought into Babylon, but Babylon changed, he didn't. He stayed faithful to his non-negotiable convictions, but he had such a love and synergy with the lost. And these are the three reasons. He was healthy, he was strong, and he was good looking. Listen to me, Impact Church. It's not about us that we have a nice looking building. It's not about us that we have a great cafe. Because if you've been around Jesus for a long time, you can worship anywhere. But there's a community out there that thinks the church sucketh. They really do. They think the church has no connection with reality. And the church is the no people, never the yes people. And I'm not talking about the plebiscite. Church, no, you can't do that. You can't do this. I don't want to be known for what I say no to. I want to be known for what I say yes to, and I want to say yes to healthy church. I want to say yes to strong foundations. I want to say yes to good looking. And Daniel was chosen by the world because he was healthy, strong, and good looking. And this church can be trusted in its community if it builds something that is healthy, strong, and good looking. I prophesy that over the house this morning. I ask the leaders to judge it, but I believe what a wonderful day to see truth-honoring church like last time I was here and I preached about that. Rise up right now around the world. People have had enough. Do you know how many Christians have had enough of churchianity? They've just had enough. They want the real Jesus. They want the real Jesus that doesn't promise things that He doesn't come through with, because we make Him be the Jesus we want Him to be. So this morning, the message God's put on my heart which is a very transforming message. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to write some words down, because it's not about a sermon, it's about a moment of impartation. And as you receive that, let me tell you what happened before I go into the message. I go to an Italian restaurant. I look like I go to a few Italian restaurants. But I go to an Italian restaurant that your pastor's been to. I think, did I ever take you to Enzo's? It's just one South Australian number one restaurant. And one day, the owner of that restaurant said, look, will you come in and pray over our business? I took Phil Lowe with me when he was still living in Adelaide. And we went and prayed over every area of the business. And I got a word of knowledge in every spot. As I got to the kitchen, the Holy Spirit said to me, the guy running this kitchen is a good chef, but he's not a good leader. And he's messing up every relationship in this kitchen. So I turned to the owner. I said, is this going on? He says, how did you know? I've never told you that. That's exactly what's going on. And that continued through every room in the restaurant, including their office where they count the money. And I had words of knowledge about that. And he goes to me, wow, wow, wow. So now wind the clock forward 12 months. Trust is built. Daniel in Babylon. He rings me a couple of weeks ago. He says, my daughter is 19 years of age. Every time she looks into the mirror, she wants to kill herself because she doesn't like what she sees. Do you think you could come and talk to her? I said, I'll be there. I worked it out that if I got there at 11, I could speak to her for an hour and then stay for lunch. So, you know, so I... I mean, you've got to take every opportunity, eh? And so I went to the restaurant. Mum, Dad and the daughter. And let's say I'll call her Mary. It's not her name. I said, Mary, why do you feel the way you do? She starts crying. She goes, I'm ugly. I said, you're so pretty. And she really was. Beautiful looking girl. There was nothing about her that was remotely unattractive. But she saw something different. And she started going on about bullying on Instagram and social media and just let her talk. And I said, you know, Mary, do you believe in God? And she goes to me, yeah, I think I do. But I think I've disappointed him. I don't think I'm good enough for him. Why would he want me when I've made choices that are so bad? And they weren't that bad, really. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came on me, and I'm going to give you what I gave to her. But basically, in a nutshell, I said, you know, Mary, until you discover who God is, you're never going to find out who you are. And that's the problem in Australia. No amount of facelifts, no amount of body shape image, no amount of getting the government to tick off on my sexual orientation, none of that, if we don't know who we are really because we don't know God, is going to fix the problem. We can fix it on paper. We can sign stuff that says, now you're allowed to do this. It's not going to change anything. I go to countries where laws are passed that this stuff can go on and nothing's gotten better. Because the problem is inside the heart of man, inside our heart. And in a moment, I'll show you something that can set you free. But I've entitled the message, why? Why are you here this morning? Why do you work where you work? Why are you sitting next to who you're sitting? Why are you married to who you are married to? Because the why behind our what determines everything in our life. The greatest why in my life is the way I serve Christ. Even in ministry, you can have the wrong why. I've seen pastors that have had personal outcomes over purpose outcomes. There's always a why behind what we do. A few years ago, I'm a car man. I love cars, and a few years ago I used to buy and sell cars. When I was at Paradise Church as a young youth pastor, I used to make a bit of a living on the side by buying and selling cars. I'd buy a car cheaply, I'd cut and polish it, put a cheap set of mags on it and sell it and make $500 or $1,000, and I did it over and over again. In those days you didn't need a car license to do it. And I remember one day I had the testimony of testimonies. I got a brand, well, what looked like a brand new VB Commodore. It wasn't new. That was in immaculate condition. It was a Calais, for those of you that remember those days. And it was a V8. And I remember getting this car because of this. A friend of mine called Stuart was working in a shopping centre, had his own key cutting business. And he goes, Danny, there's a little old man who's selling his car because he can't drive anymore. He's in his 80s and he's such a lovely soul. And if you don't buy this car, I will. It's going for $7,000 and probably it would have been worth on the car lot for 14 or 15. It's like half price. I said, if you say, Stuart, that this is a good car, I'll just have a quick look at it. I looked at it. It looked immaculate. I bought it straight away. Nice car. Used to pull to the left a bit. And then one day, I had to pick up a speaker from the airport and I hadn't had time to clean it, so I took it through the car wash and my car became a baptismal tank. The whole car filled up with water. I thought, flip, what's happened here? I took it to the RAA or the equivalent that checked the cars out and they come back to me and said, you cannot have your car back. I go, why? He says, we're taking it off the road. You see, this is two cars chopped in half, made into one, put together badly, and you have been sucked in. You are sucked in, baby. I told everybody Jesus had provided this great deal for me. I had to go back and repent. Now, why did I buy that car? Because I trusted my friend Stuart. He was my mate. And I trusted the image of the old man. I didn't fully check things out on my own. I trusted others. And out of my trust of others, I got ripped off. Do you know how many people sit in church every week that do a Jesus that they've heard from others? They try to follow a Jesus that they never found out for themselves who he really is. When my son passed away in 2016, I couldn't stand following the Jesus of what others say. The Jesus the church sort of showed me. I had to know for myself who he really was. You see, you can't do the Jesus because of the some say. And I want you to come with me to Matthew. Well, you don't have to look it up because I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 in the Message, this passage of scripture visits my life every week. And I hope it will change you today as I share it with you. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what are people saying about who the Son of Man is? They replied, some say, see, we have the church of the some say. Some say, I was telling the leaders yesterday, we have the church of the some say and the church of the yum cha. Have you been to yum cha where the food comes around, you pick a bit of this? I've seen people eat chicken's feet where they don't normally eat it because they're just trying what's coming around on yum cha. And we got Christians today, we'll have a little bit of Bethel. We'll have a little bit of something else. We'll have a little bit of T.D. Jakes. We'll have a little bit of Stephen Furtick. Always be careful, pastors, when people get more from other speakers than they get from you, they're covering. It's amazing how many people can't get enough food from their pastors and leaders. They're not getting the deeper stuff. And they're going on the spiritual yum cha journey. And so right here we have the church of the some say, could possibly be also be the church of the yum cha. They replied, some say he is John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Now he pressed them. And how about you? Who do you say that I am? And only one person responds. Simon Peter. You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon. Son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from Instagram. No, I mean from out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. That's not all. You'll have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, a no on earth is a no in heaven. I'm going to give you some very, very clear words today. Can you write them down? If we are going to be people that really are authentic Christians, number one, it starts with deity. Just write the word deity. And just write other words underneath it. Deity. You see, Peter you've had a revelation that I'm not just a good teacher, I'm not just a nice person, but that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Until a human being has a revelation of deity, number one, you'll never get to number two, identity. Hey, Peter, when you see deity and discover who I am, you're going to find your identity. Australia is not a Christian country anymore. Australians don't know deity. And because of that, they are messed up in their identity. I'm not just talking sexually. We got people killing themselves to have the house in the right suburb, the cars with the right badge on the front, the who's who at the local school, and the parents that have got the kids in the highest college, not always for the best interest of the kid, because of image. And so we've got an Australia that's in a mess because we've flicked deity. And when you get rid of deity, you will never find your proper identity. And God, Jesus says to Peter, hey Peter, finally you found out who I am. Now I'm going to show you who you are, identity. And then number three gives him clarity. This country's never been more confused than now. You can't blame it all on the political system. Suicide rate is higher than ever before. In this lucky country with lots and lots and lots of access to toys. And yet we don't want to live. See, if you don't know deity, you're not going to know your identity. Do you know how many people that used to be pastors, used to be leaders in Queensland right now? I know them. Who have flicked deity and they've lost their identity. They no longer have clarity. Therefore, when you don't have clarity, next one is you won't find your destiny. Right here in this passage of scripture. Because Jesus says to Peter, hey Pete, now that you know who I am, deity, I'm going to show you who you are, identity. And now I'm going to give you clarity, you're going to build my church. And that's going to become your destiny, which we know what happened with Peter, a disciple who died crucified upside down for his Lord. He found his destiny. And then he says, guess what? When you find your destiny my way, I'm going to give you authority. The gates of hell will never be able to come against you. In fact, the gates of hell can't stop you coming against them. That's the interpretation. You don't go running down the street with gates fighting. You don't go up to somebody's house and pull the gates out and say, I'm going to go and fight someone with these gates. Oh, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That means the gates of hell are trying to keep us out. The church. That's not the kind of church we're seeing in Australia right now. Christians don't know how to vote on stuff. Christians are all messed up on stuff. You've either got this far right angry church or this far left anything goes cheap grace church. Christians don't know what's going on anymore. Why? Because we've lost our deity. And when we don't hang on to deity, we lose our identity. Then we don't have clarity. Then we don't walk in our destiny. Then we lose our authority. But the last one, he says, hey Pete, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's called victory. And I want to tell you, those are the steps over 40 years that I have lived my life without realizing it. And when my son passed away in 2016, church didn't help me by itself. Church alone couldn't help me. The care and connection of the church couldn't help me. It had to be my revelation of deity that still could give me clarity in my pain. And in that clarity, I can still find my destiny and my identity. And I can find those things. And now I can call on His authority to give me the power to still stand. So I can still today walk in my destiny and victory in Jesus' name. All in one conversation. How's that? Let me tell you, this is just not a nice ditty. Clarity. You know, all those things are not to be smart this morning. They are clarity to me. I was 11 years old when I had my first encounter with deity at a prayer meeting in an Italian church where everybody in the room was really old. I was 11. Everybody else was around 30. And so, I mean, all the old people were there.
My dad was the pastor of the church, and he would have been about 35. Boring prayer meetings, speaking in other languages, and the room was fogging up with mist because they wouldn't open the windows because they didn't want the neighbours to hear how loud they were shouting. We had one guy, he would start shaking chairs when he felt the power of God. I've told you before, my auntie was the ambulance. She'd feel the presence of God and she'd go, "Woo!" I used to think, I'm bringing none of my friends to this church in case the ambulance goes off. It was some meaning. They used to have to repair chairs that they used to break under the power. My auntie grabbing the rail at the front of the altar, shaking it. We thought, it's a hired building. It wasn't our church. It was an Anglican church. And we were going to break the whole altar. My dad says, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Leave me alone. I've got the devil by the horns. I've got the devil by the horns." I grew up in a church like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't have a follow-up program. We didn't have home groups. We didn't have someone visit me because I made a decision. I'll explain in a moment. But I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, 11 years old, in a boring prayer meeting. Couldn't stop speaking in another tongue when I went to bed that night. My mum's trying to shut me up. She said, "It'll still be there in the morning." I thought I was going to lose it. And I had my first encounter with deity. And then at the age of 14 at a camp, another encounter with deity. How could anyone ever walk away from God if you've had ongoing encounters with deity? See, too many people have had encounters with the church. They've come out of insecurity in the world and the church makes them famous. Who wouldn't want to be in that environment? It's not enough. See, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening right now in the Pentecostal church is we're concentrating on a larger scale on care and connection, but not the cause. You see, I'm going to share something in a moment, it'll come clear. But you see, if all you go to a church for is because it cares for you, one day they may care for someone else more than you're cared for. If you only go to a church because you feel connected, one day you're going to feel disconnected. As the church grows, it's not like it used to be. Now, do we need care and connection? Absolutely. Should we not concentrate on it? Yes, we do. But we've got it the wrong way around. Because unless we embrace the cause of Christ, the care and connection is not going to be enough. But if you embrace the cause of Christ, the care and connection will be a wonderful end. And a wonderful blessing to the fact we've embraced the cause of Christ. I left my father's church at the age of 16 because it became like a cult. And what my dad was preaching from the pulpit, I didn't see in the Bible at the age of 16. And I had to leave and I lost a lot of friends. And I was disowned and I was told that I left the church because I was looking for women at 16. And that I'd gone to another church because I was looking for a girlfriend. It's amazing how people judge you by what's inside of them. And anyway, let's move on. And so, you know, what happened was this. The care and connection wasn't there. I got disqualified from going back to that church unless I repented. I didn't feel connected and I didn't feel cared for. But somehow I'd had a revelation of who He is to me, and He is deity. And because He's deity, I will always find my identity. I will have clarity in my life. I will walk in my destiny. I will have authority. And I will live in victory in Jesus' name. And so, a few weeks ago, I was preaching in Murray Bridge, Adelaide. My wife was with me. For a CRC church, a guy called Josh O'Callaghan, who got saved in that church, he doesn't know anything about church politics. He's one of the most beautiful young men. Him and his wife can't have a child. For years and years and years, him and Belinda have not been able to have children, so they've opened up their home as the senior pastor to take in street kids. I've met all the street kids. You would have probably seen on the news a couple of months ago of a guy who murdered his live-in partner, had a little baby next to him, and then killed himself, a Sri Lankan guy in Sydney. It was in the papers all over Australia. His daughter is in this church. What's happening is a church in the country, in Murray Bridge, where there's a lot of Indigenous people, are getting hundreds and hundreds of street kids coming in and giving their lives to Christ. They've got a youth group of about 190 kids. The church now has broken through the 500 in Murray Bridge, Adelaide, which is an hour out of Adelaide. And there's all these street kids coming in. I was preaching for him. And as I'm driving to the church, I said to my wife, I love the rawness of what's happening here. And then I park the car, we go inside, and during the worship, I saw a picture in my mind of me driving up again. I was already in the building, so this is in my mind. And as I pulled up in front of the church, in my mind, I saw a big H. And I said, Lord, what's that? He said, the church needs to be a hospital. The Church of Jesus Christ must be a hospital. For the broken inside the church, as well as the broken outside the church. Okay. As I pulled down the side of the building, there were two buildings with a gap in the middle. In my mind, I saw a new housing estate going up. Like all brand new houses. And I said to the Lord, what's that? He said, my church needs to be a community where people do life together and people belong, care and connection. So it's not like I'm pushing those things away. But as I went to park my car to the back of the building, I wasn't ready for what I saw in my mind. I saw a picture of an army barracks. And the Lord said to me, the church has to be a hospital, has to have a hospital. The church has to be a community where people connect, but it needs to be an army that lives out the cause of Jesus Christ. And the church has spent more time on connect and more time on care in the last 20 years. We were totally the other way before. Now we've learnt to do our buildings up. We've learnt to create cafe areas. We've got people leaving churches on whether the coffee's for free or whether they have to pay for it. I'm going to churches where they're having splits in board meetings on whether the coffee that comes from the proper coffee machine is charged for and the cheap, international roast, which is from the devil, you know, that. I said, this coffee tastes like mud. They said it was only ground this morning. Oh, okay. Oh, terrible. That's a bad one, right? I can't believe what Christians get all knotted up about when there's a world out there that's dying by the day. You see, going back to Natalie, oops, I've given you her name now. Sorry, Natalie. In that cafe is when I went through what I've just been through with you. She goes, I want to know Jesus. And in the cafe, I led Natalie to the Lord. She wraps her arms around me. Her dad's crying. Her mum's crying. Was that a pulpit for me? Or maybe not, but it was a platform. Too many Christians are looking for pulpits when they should be looking for platforms. And I'm on the platform in an Italian cafe. Guess what? Natalie's in our youth group now. Her parents now are coming to church. The owner of the cafe, I get discount. Oh, who said that? Spaghetti marinara's come down $5. That's it. I'm going to lead the whole team to the Lord. I'll get cheap free meals. I'm being silly because it's good to have a bit of fun in church. But listen, Natalie's walking with Jesus. And to be honest, the last meal my wife and I had there, they wouldn't take any money for it. And I said, Natalie, we are your family. We want to support your business. You've got to take the money. She goes, how can I take that? You're my family. And she threw it straight back at me. Why can't I love on my family? And gives me a big hug. Gives my wife a big hug. Because she found deity. All of a sudden, her identity's changed. She's now got clarity. She's decided to go to university. She's involved in our youth group already, trying to serve and get involved. Not only that, she realises she's got a destiny and she's not fat and ugly. Because that's what the word she says to me, I'm fat and ugly. And it doesn't matter if you are fat. All of us should be fat. Faithful, available and teachable. Right there. Stone fat for Jesus. This church and any other church has no long-term future if the people that attend only connect and care. We got to embrace the cause. Because the cause of Jesus Christ, when you get offended, doesn't make you flick it. Because the cause is greater than the connection. And the cause is greater than the care. When my son passed away, the care was amazing. But so was the stupid stuff that comes from the church. Hey, Pastor Danny, God loved your son so much he created the lightning strike to take him home. Really?
My son gave his life. I said this last time I was here. My son gave his life, this lady says to me, to the Lord at your son's funeral, and God allowed your son to die so mine could live. Even theologically, Christians don't know their Bibles. The Bible is no longer a non-negotiable, it's a devotional. Remember we used to have those devotionals called Every Day with Jesus? I'm thinking of writing a couple of them. One of them is Once in a Blue Moon with Jesus. And the other one is Every Now and Then with Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. Some. It's some to Jesus I surrender. Christians don't tell lies. We just sing them in our songs. I surrender some. And I said to the leaders yesterday, you know why Christians are afraid to surrender everything? Because we don't know the personality and character of God. Because he's Lord of Lords, and I said to the leaders yesterday, not landlord. We treat the Lord of Lords like he's the landlord. So we give him our duty, not our devotion. We serve out of obligation, not revelation. You know, out of have to, not want to. Pastor Danny, it's so good you're so busy after your son died. Because it helps you get your mind off of it. Really? I'm traveling to get my mind off of it? What an abuse of you and God and everybody else. I'm not standing here to get my mind off of it. I'm here because at the age of 11, at the age of 14, at the age of 19, at a camp, at the age of 25 after we'd been married 5 or 6 years, and all that, and all along the way, there was those suddenlies of God while I'm doing my everyday. And I'm due the suddenly of God comes, and I embrace the cause of Jesus Christ. And because I've embraced the cause, I enjoy the connection. I love the care. But if you take away the connection and you take away the care, you cannot take away the cause. Of who Jesus Christ is in my life. Only 1 in 5 in the Bible leaders finish strong. They are predicting in the next 20 years that who starts in ministry today will possibly not be in ministry 5 years down the track. I want to finish my race, not cynical, not critical. Not judgmental, not full of bull, and none of that. I want to finish my race in the right space, still seeking his face, and still running my race. Well, that's sort of all coming together right there. We could use that. Write that down. I'll need to use that. That could be a rap song. Finish my race and stay in the space. And we could really, that's not rap. I don't know what that is. Let's be a hospital. Please, let's never stop being a hospital. Let's be a community. But you know something? I reckon in the last 12 months, the care and community in this place has just lifted and lifted and lifted. But it's not where you're going to stay. You've got to go to the next stage of cause of Christ. Cause of Christ. You know there are stages in a church, and most people love stage one, where everybody gets cared for and connected. Stage two, we've got to embrace the vision of the house. Where is God taking this house, and how can my God shape bring me in so we can all be in to build what God wants? But then when you get to stage three, the culture of the house is so organic that you never have to preach on commitment. You don't have to ask for volunteers. You don't have to tell people to be generous. We have miracle offerings like you've just had in this church, in Adelaide, and we hardly talk about it now. And the dollars that come in, because there comes a tipping point where the church has gone from care to connection to cause, from hospital to community to army. I want the musicians to come this morning. I believe I'm prophesying into this house, because when we have a revelation of deity, we will embrace that cause. And Christianity becomes a true privilege. You know, we've lost our son, and I talk about it a lot. But I've got grandchildren. I was preaching in Victory Church in Adelaide. And I was preaching on having your own revelation of the cause. It was a different message to this. It was on hearing the voice of God so you can stay connected to the cause. My 11-year-old grandson is taking notes. He comes to me after the meeting and he goes, "Nonno," which is granddad for Italian, "I got so much out of your message today. These are my notes. Can you look at them?" He had two more points I never came up with. And I said, "Elijah, can I use your notes when I preach?" The very next day, his mum sends me a message on the phone that I've written out, because even with glasses, I can't read my phone. And so I'm going to read this out. Listen to what he says. "Mum and I were in the car talking about having your own story that you hold on to when times are tough. When things are going bad and you question, is God real? You need to have your own God revelation. I realized God was saying to me all week, Jeremiah 29:9. I didn't know if it was God speaking, because everyone always says Jeremiah 29:11. So I asked my mum to read her Bible on her phone, and then I read it. God, you've given me this scripture, Jeremiah 29:9, that says they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." I'm thinking, wow, what's this all about? "When I was at Keithcott Primary School, kids used to say to me that the church was playing with my mind and that God never existed and he couldn't be real. They also said that I was being delusional. God's given me this scripture, so I don't have to doubt anymore. I know that he's real and I only need to listen to his voice." A boy that lost his dad, who only a few months before, the older brother was baptized by his dad. A few weeks ago, I was up here in Brisbane and I flew straight home Sunday afternoon, got to the church just in time to baptize little Elijah. If we can put the photo up. Look at the look on his face as he's looking up to me. That's his older brother, who looks just like his dad who's passed away. A few months before, my son got to baptize the older one. Now he's in heaven and I'm baptizing Elijah. The other night I was babysitting him and I saw a photo of his dad on the mantelpiece and I started to cry. And that little boy starts rubbing my back and he goes, "Don't cry, Nonno. Jesus has got this. You know we're going to be in heaven, because heaven is our home. And God, you need to keep going. You need to be keep going, Nonno. Because it's okay, Jesus has got this. I got to baptize him." Let me tell you, it's not just about connection. It's not just about care. It's about the cause of Jesus Christ. How do we have an amazing church? Have amazing individual Christians? You can't be stupid or weak in not being connected to God and then come to church and go, "I didn't get much out of the worship this morning." Well, what'd you bring? Because it's only a corporate of what we all bring. Who's the church? You are the church. Your story becomes our story. And our story becomes his story. Because we love the connection and we love the care, but we've embraced the cause that gives us our identity. Can you imagine if every Christian found their identity in the cause of Christ? We wouldn't get upset when someone else gets the position we want. We wouldn't get upset when someone gets promoted and we don't. We wouldn't get upset when things don't go the way we think they should go. Why? Because we don't get looked after by what happens around us. We get looked after by what happens above us, because we've embraced our deity. We have identity in him. We have clarity. How many pastors today resign their churches and don't go to church anymore? Because where do I get my identity now? You got to be kidding me. Your identity was never in your position. It was in your paternal connection with Heavenly Daddy. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning in this room, I thank you with all my heart that you're coming back to the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world. And I want to thank you that Impact Church is so ready for the next. I thank you, God, that this church amens in their heart what I'm preaching this morning. I know that. I know there's an amen in people's hearts because I feel like the people of this church going, we're ready for this. We're ready for this. We're ready to embrace the cause. Father, I pray everything that I prophesied over this house at the beginning of the service is the truth and it is a reality. And Father, let's all put our hands out in front of us. Father, I pray today that as we go to the next, that you will be Lord of Lords, not the landlord. Our marriages won't suffer. Our kids won't suffer. Let me tell you, my friends, when you embrace the cause, it will change the course of your life, and it will be for the better, not for the worst. I am grateful that right now I'm in Jesus in the midst of my pain and hurt. And Father, oh wow, let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Just bow our heads in prayer. There are a half a dozen people in the room right now that you haven't been here for a long, long time, but you've been afraid to let go because you've been a victim of spiritual abuse. Where you've come from or your life's experiences somewhere else made you feel taken for granted and abused. And the word of the Lord to you today is, that was man that did that to you, but God won't do that to you. And are you in love with Jesus enough to be willing to even get hurt again? Jesus could have stopped in the Garden of Gethsemane and go, that's it, I want to go to heaven now. But he went all the way to the cross, endured the cross, even though he didn't want to go. He said, not my will, but yours be done to the Father. I remember the day when stuff happened in our church and I was misquoted, talked about badly, and I said, who needs this? I'll go and work for World Vision. I'll go and work for local government. I don't need to put up with this rubbish from Christians. And the Lord said to me, but do you love me? Because if you love me more than them, feed my sheep. Keep doing what I've covenantally called you to do. And right now, I want to pray, no people coming forward, but I want to pray for those that feel like it's not a scar, it's still a bit of an open wound. And I want to pray that God will heal it today. Because you need to be all in. Because what God's going to do in this house is not going to abuse you, it's going to release you. And if that's you and you need to let that go, I want you to slip up your hand wherever you are. Thank you, God bless you. 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 I didn't keep count, but thank you, God bless you. Thank you, God bless you. Father God, today, supernaturally, Lord, I pray, please, Lord, come and remove the pain from these dear brothers and sisters, and we don't take it lightly, and we're so sorry that they've been used and abused. But Father, it's not about what people have done to us. It's about who you are above us and who you are in us. And as a church, can we all stand right now? And as a church, can we just say, Father, I'm going to pray over you as a church that today we take a step forward for the cause of Christ. Father, today I pray for Impact Church. Father, the things I prophesied this morning while everybody's standing, Father, I want to pray over this church today that it will live out its name, that, Lord, it will go to greater impact, that God is willing to give strength for the stretch today. Father, give people that are tired strength for the stretch today. Give them joy in the stretch. Empower for the stretch. Let there be synergy in the stretch. Supply, God, supernatural power, provision and purpose. The Holy Spirit speaking to me right now. And there are people in this room and you're struggling with finances. And the Holy Spirit said, if you put me first, I am going to surprise you. If you put me first, and it's not about giving, it's about trust. And as you trust me, you're going to have knocks on your door that come unexpected, supernaturally speaking. Finances are going to come from where, just like the testimony we had this morning around the offering. Father God, I pray that you will supernaturally supply for every individual need financially in this place. Let the heavens open this place, God. Let this church stand under an open heaven. As together, we don't just care and connect, but we embrace the cause. Father, everyone that's confused. Oh, wow. There are people in the room. There are people in the room and you've always said, what does God want from me? I'm so confused. I don't know what God wants from me. If you're willing to embrace deity without conditions, your identity is going to be clarified. Your destiny is going to be mapped out in front of you. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll come looking for you. You will feel a sense of authority because God's done it, and you will walk in victory. The words that Jesus spoke to those disciples are not just for Peter. In fact, they were for everybody that was there, and only Peter responded. That same guy, three verses later, says to Jesus, you know, Jesus, we don't have to do this. You don't need to go to the cross. Hey, Jesus, we'll take care of you. I mean, you've showed me my destiny. Hey, Tony, you don't need to get all worked up about that stuff. Hey, Tony and Cheryl, you don't need to worry about making a profit in the cafe and doing this and doing that. You know, you're so anal. You've got to get everything. And Jesus turns to Peter and goes, I didn't say that you were anal, Tony, by the way. I'm just making that up as I go. But, you know, I'm just using an illustration. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. How does the guy that just had a revelation a few minutes ago, he's called Satan. He says, because you are thinking from a human point of view. Go and read it. That's what it says. Heavenly Father, I speak over Impact Church, a new era of listening to revelation and not information. Of listening to revelation, God, and not reason, in Jesus' name. Let there not be revelation in the office of the leadership and be reason in the congregation. But let it be a synergy of revelation. Can we just hold hands right across the room right now? I know it might sound a bit corny, but let's just do it. Father, as I close today, I pray for everyone in this room that has called Impact their home, and I pray that there'll be a supernatural empowerment from heaven of revelation, that when Tony gets up and says this is what's going on, everybody goes, that's funny, that's exactly what I was thinking. And there'll be a synergy of heart, a synergy of head, and a synergy of hands. I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Jesus a mighty clap today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Love that. Love that. I love the thought that, you know, the care will never be enough. The connection will never be enough. But here's the beautiful thing that Pastor Danny's been saying all morning. The cause and the person of Christ, he will always be more than enough. More than enough for us. More than enough. Pastor Danny, we want to thank you for who you are. For who you are. For who you are to our nation. To who you are for our church. For who you are to us. For who you are to me. Thank you. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your passion, your heart, your love. Thank you for looking after us as if we are your church. Thank you for your authenticity. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for your prophetic word. Thank you for your extravagance, your generosity and your hospitality towards us. You have birthed so much in us over the years. So much. And we love you. We stand with you. And we thank you for what you've invested in our hearts over this weekend. You have said more prophetically than you understand and you realize. In the little words, statements, the little ditties. Next weekend I'm preaching on the Daniel Church. A series. We planned it. Speaking into that thought that Pastor Danny had shared this morning. I've said to Marichelle, because I'm away for one weekend on a holiday, I said, you're going to preach this. This is your title. From Daniel. I've given her the best sermon to preach in terms of title. So you write it, I'll give you the title. And this is where we're going in response to that. All In is a big one for next year that we've planned and we've spoken about. It's just where God's got us. Last year when Pastor Danny came, the word was equip and empower. Not a new vision, but a new strategy. And we spent 12 months unpacking that and felt very much on the verge for what Pastor Danny brought to us this weekend. And that's why I sit in the front row and I just go, you read our mail, you read our email, you read everything. Thank you. I want to finish where this all starts. I just want us to take a moment, just an extended moment, just to really lean our hearts in. We're going to do that song, do it again, right from the very top. And this is your moment. It's all about Christ today. Let's just take a moment just to really lean in with our hearts as we draw our service to a conclusion today. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voice, lean your posture and your heart in right now. Make this your prayer. Make this your prayer.
You will never fail me.